Tehillim was 1981. I had the idea of, why don't singers sing words? Now, you would say, you know, are you nuts? That's what they do. But in my case, in Music for 18 Musicians and in drumming, the pieces that I had used voices in previously, the voices were not singing words. They were sounding like instruments, imitating instruments. Like in drumming, they might go, sort of like another version of Ella Fitzgerald's scat singing. And the idea was that the voice would become part of the instrumental ensemble by imitating and blending with the instrument. And this worked very well. But it's an unusual use of the voice. It's not the normal use of the voice. And I thought, well, hey, you know, why don't I just write a piece using the voice singing words? Well, what text? So like many people in the 60s, I got involved in Northern Buddhist meditation, Southern Buddhist meditation, TM, Transcendental Meditation, yoga, Hatha yoga, physical yoga, and pranayama, which is Indian breathing exercises. As a matter of fact, through pranayama, I stopped smoking without even trying to. As you get into breathing exercises, you become more sensitized, and pretty soon I'd get nauseous at lunchtime, and then I'd get nauseous at dinnertime, and then I'd just get nauseous, so I had to stop smoking. This is before everybody became aware that, you know, it was really not a very good thing to do, so I was fortunate. And I would say that all the meditation was really really very helpful for a, you know, a high metabolism, fast-talking New Yorker like me. But I felt something was missing. I thought, well, it might be in my own backyard. And so I started studying at Lincoln Square Synagogue, Biblical Hebrew, the language, which I knew nothing of, and reading the weekly portions of the Torah, which is read in a cycle that begins in September of our year and recommences again the following year, so that you're constantly reading the same text in cycles and with many, many, many commentaries and different translations and working to improve your Hebrew so you can understand the original. And this began affecting my life in terms of observing the Sabbath by turning the phone machine on Friday night and leaving it on till sundown on Saturday and avoiding certain foods and so on and so forth. And it was having a very positive effect on my life. So I thought, well, you know, I want to bring this into my music. I want to bring my life into my music, which is what composers have been doing for a long time. And why not set a Hebrew text? Well, which Hebrew text? Well, the most obvious text is the most musical text, and that is the Psalms. Now, the Psalms is basically, the word psalm comes from the Greek psalmos. The original word is sefer, book, sefer tehillim, tehillim. Tehillim is praises in English. And it's the same root, hey, lamed, lamed, as hallelujah. And so I went back to a Hebrew and English text of the Psalms and had it on the piano and went through the entire book of Psalms looking for Psalms that I felt I could say to anybody, Jew, Buddhist, Hindu, whatever. I think I found four that worked, actually four segments of Psalms. There are no entire Psalms set in all Tehillim. So I finally got my texts, which I really had to begin with, and I had them up on the piano, and I had this little drum on the piano, which is really what is called a tambourine with an M on the end, which is like a little frame drum. It's like a tambourine that's only about 6-7 inches across and has no jingles. And it's probably similar to what's called in Hebrew tof, which goes way back to the Middle East, in which archaeologists have dug up, you know, the frames thereof, not the heads thereof, which have rotted away. And we actually continued, I actually had, you know, leather heads on it, and not plastic heads. Anyway, so I, going over the first text that I chose was from the 19th Psalm, and in Hebrew it's Hashemayim Masaparim Kavod Kael. The heavens declare the glory of God. Abraham is, the legend is that Abraham is looking up at the sun. Sun comes up, sun goes down. Moon comes up, moon goes down. Stars come out, stars go away. There must be some kind of intelligence behind this incredible phenomena that I'm seeing, and it's not visible. So, but nevertheless, Hashemai, the heavens are sort of speaking of this in a wordless way. It's a really quite beautiful thing. So I'm thinking of these words, and I'm saying them over and over in my mind. Hashemai Masaparim Kavod Kel, and a tune pops into my head. Hashemai Masaparim Kavod Kel. And at the very same time as that tune pops into my head, I get 1-2-1-2-3-1-2-1-2-3-1-2-1. I said, you know, what's this? Well, on one level, what this is going back unconsciously to hearing Béla Bartók in his pieces using Bulgarian rhythms that have 5/8 and 7/8 constantly changing, and Igor Stravinsky with the changes of meter, particularly in The Rite of Spring. I wasn't thinking about Stravinsky. I wasn't thinking about Bartok, but those things had become, if you like, what, you know, sedimentary layers of my musical consciousness. They were just there. They're not, you know, upfront conscious, but they're part of you. So I thought, well, you know, that's how I hear classical Hebrew, and I guess it'll change. But it didn't. The piece went on for half an hour, and those twos and threes just stayed there. Now, this was a whole new breakthrough on a number of levels. First of all, here I am using singers in a perfectly normal way. They're singing words. Second of all, they're singing melodies, not patterns. The, quote, melodies in Music for 18, which are longer than the melodies in drumming, are still, you know, at most 4 bars long. These were like full-fledged, you know, a couple of pages of music worth of melody, because the text demanded it. It's as if the text sort of, you know, picked me up by the scruff of the neck and said, you know, Bach gave me this, Handel gave me that, Stravinsky gave me this, what have you got in mind? I mean, dealing with the Psalms is suddenly dealing with Western musical history in a way that I hadn't been dealing. I'd been thinking a lot about Africa, and thinking a lot about Bali, and thinking a little about medieval music, but not quite so forcefully as psalm setting forced me to do. Tehillim, when all is said and done, is a one step forward, two steps back. It's something new for me, absolutely. And the people who heard it, it's like, said, you know, wow, you know, we never heard anything like that come from you. And on the other hand, it is much more, it's in four movements, it has a slow movement, and it ends in a hallelujah in D major, which is how the Messiah ends of Handel. So it received sort of its most well-known premiere as the opening of the New York Philharmonic in, I think it was 1982, when Zubin Mehta was there. So, I mean, that was not a context that people were used to hearing my music in. So Tehillim broke a lot of new ground, and a lot of that new ground was a return to Western music, Western possibilities, i.e., more interest in all kinds of instruments. Basically, you have oboe, English horn, clarinet, flutes, piccolos, frame drums, four different, you know, lyric sopranos, high sopranos, altos, and electric keyboards, and a conductor who was really necessary because of all these incredible rhythmic changes, which were not like, I mean, basically, drumming and music for 18 musicians are in a funny kind of three, but they are in three, and you don't need to have anybody conduct it for you. You can learn that yourself, and they're never conducted. And if they are, it's a tragedy. But Tehillim needed it, and Tehillim works that way, and it's really one of the best pieces that I've ever done. And interestingly enough, it was the piece that was picked up by other ensembles, and one of the ensembles that really ran with it was Alarm Will Sound, conducted by Alan Pearson, and just absolutely made this marvelous recording on Candle Up, the Bang on a Can label, amongst several other recordings.